I was talking about the preacher's meeting this morning. That was kind of the highlight of our trip, these young preachers, to hear their dedication. Even if the money's totally cut off, which it may be, they said that'd make a bit of difference to them. They said, we're in this because we love the truth. And just to hear them say it, instead of facing when they said it, I wish I could convey it to you, but can't do it except just in words the best I can. But just a living time, we were just all just so moved. Just our hearts were made to be joyful. But anyway, that's where I'm taking off there. And after this meeting with the preachers, we went to Salem and saw the site of the proposed new church building at Tallahassee, where Judson is the pastor. He's a fine, fine man. In fact, Judson's a guy who said, I'll never be a Primitive Baptist. He didn't believe in rebaptism. I'm glad he felt that way. But all the men who have become Primitive Baptists have become totally convinced in their heart that that's what they needed to do. And so Judson was really a strong fellow. And now he got a good little wife. And he got, I think, how many children? Just one, two children, okay. Timothy keeps us up there, and I do. But he's the pastor there at this place. And we went to their church site. They don't have a church building. It's a real pleasant site. So we're hoping the Lord will provide the funds for them to have a church building some of these days. We went to Judson's rented house. They had about 20 small children there where the Indians are always trying to be evangelistic. So Rebecca, one of the real sweet sisters there, married to Gaudiamati, that's their names they took when they got baptized. And one of our brightest couples, Judson's wife kind of deals with these kids. They recap them in school what they're having them. They're real poor kids. But when they're doing that, every time they get a chance to talk about the Lord, they do that. So we had a real good time with about 20 kids. Timothy talked to them some. We had prayer. But I'll just give you a little color here. In getting to the church site, we had to park our car and walk through some narrow streets. And get this, I wish I could color this for you. The extreme poverty, people living next to sewers, you can smell it, with many dogs barking at us. I mean, many, many mangy dogs barking at us. We wish we had a stick, really, kind of afraid we'd get bit. We didn't. And people were staring at us. And I wrote, we all had the same thought. We are really in India. We all thought that. We all thought, we're here, man. Listen, we're not tourists. We're really in India. Just that site, going through the site. Anyway, that was the night after we got through with the preacher seminar. Now, Friday the 25th, we had a good night's rest. And to get some of the flavor of the scene, I wrote in this journal. This was Friday morning. We're up at Brother Gunner's at Chattopadie, which is a pretty good facility. So I just wrote this. I'm going to quote from this. After breakfast, I sat out on the small patio of our second floor. I was out there praying and reading, just enjoying myself. We've been working so hard that I kind of took a little time to relax. I said, it was so pleasant. The weather's perfect. I got to look over the Indian countryside. See the coconut palm trees are everywhere. There are all kinds of sounds. Music in the distance, beauty Hindu music, the sound of traffic, the constant blowing of horns on the nearby highway, crows calling. They got crows all over India. I waited at the orphans as they lifted up, if they lined up to walk to school, neat, clean, and smiling in their uniforms. They smiled and waved back at us. Kind of like, feel like you're there, don't you, Timothy? Those orphans are just a happy bunch of kids. I've talked to people that are not Primitive Baptists, and they tell me that's the best orphanage that they've ever seen. They've never seen kids as happy because Vina does the best. Of course, they talk about the Lord all the time, and they have the welcome every morning before they go to school and every night. And they're well-disciplined. Sometimes they have discipline problems like you with any kids. They're well-fed compared to what most Indians are, and he get them educated. And they're growing up, and I don't know what they're going to do. I think one of the boys already going to kind of technical school, learning computers and stuff like that. So he's got a lot of challenges, but he's done a wonderful job. All right, then, later that day, we drove up Yukon Mountain. I've been wanting to go there. I'm glad we get to go up there. I love that place. The area is much cooler. The British used it for a resort when they were in India until they got kicked out in 1947. And it's kind of a resort area for India. You wouldn't call it a resort like we would because it's not as high quality. But the air is a lot cooler. Absolutely beautiful coffee plantations. They always take my breath. They got a lot of wealthy Indians at home in these plantations. They're all well manicured. They got hedges, flowering hedges that line them, and they got these big, huge trees. Also, they double crop. They got big, tall trees. These vines grow up, and they grow peppers there. And they're pretty hot since I bit one of them. But they're commercial peppers, and they have the coffee and the peppers, and they're just a beautiful place up there. But they're poor people, like work for maybe 60 rupees a day. That's what they call the coolie. That's most of our people, most of our church folks, are poor folks. And 60 rupees, you can imagine, that's less than a dollar a day because a rupee right now is about 39 rupees to a dollar, something like that. Anyway, And on the way up there, we stopped to get some coconut milk. Now, how you do this, they got coconuts everywhere. So people have these big old pile of coconut on the side of the road, and for a couple of rupees, you can get one. What they do, they got a machete, and they're good at this. They chop the top of it off, and then they cut a hole in it and give you a straw, and you drink this coconut milk. And I like it a whole lot. I think Timothy likes it. So I'm going to say it's good for you. I drank three or four of them, just one at a time. But anyway, we did it on the way up there. We arrived at the site of the new building of the Yacob Primitive Baptist Church. It's not finished. It's, they can mediate it. They still need some more money, and someday I hope it comes in where they can finish that. But at one time, the first time we went up there, we met in this little bitty room. I'm not kidding you. It's about the size of my office. So happy. Isn't it, Timothy? About the size of my office, and we had about 50 people in there, and I don't know how we got in there. But we met up there twice. It's a man's house is what it was. And but anyway, now, thank God they got this building. And so you could do it. They're so happy about 100 people there because they had a lot of interest there, too. It'd be like we had a dedication of a church building. A lot of our friends would come. So I said there were about 100 people present. Some of our preachers were present. I saw Stephen and Judson and Babu and Kenny and Emmanuel. These are old buddies of ours that y'all don't know, but maybe you'll know them someday in heaven. And maybe some other. I think George was there, too. Some money I had given for Grace Chapel a few years ago at the beginning of this building effort. I had a little money that y'all had given me, that I just gave it to kind of start a building fund. We were looking at places, hoping there could be a place on. They looked like it's just out of sight. They could never do it. Berlin's kind of high up there, but somehow or another, that money was kind of seed money, and that other money started coming from other sources. And so Grace Chapel had a lot to do with this Yacob church building. I offered the dedication prayer, then Timothy preached on how to be a successful church. He taught many about unity and people cooperating with each other. Did it. I thought the Lord really blessed him. And Herb preached a real good sermon on the nature of the church. He just had a very good sermon. I thought both of them were very good. So we got through that. And then this is just part of the flavor of the trip. Not trying to be funny here necessarily, but I said then they began to serve some kind of rice meal that had a very strong smell. They had a whole big old pot of rice. Everybody sat down to get their plates out. And I said, I went to the car, ate some tuna and peanut butter crackers. And y'all probably would have. I think tuna tried some of that rice stuff, but he paid for it too. Then we drove to the rural area of Patty Patty. That's a little country area up on the mountain too, and it's a beautiful place. It's got flowering hedges, and it's just real pretty decorated little place out in the country. And so I just wrote this kind of a quote. We said that we didn't have church there. We sat under the trees in good weather for about 1.5 hours and had wonderful fellowship. I much enjoyed talking to Angus Fisher. It was just a great time sitting out there in the open, and the weather was just great. And we had these Christian fellows from Australia and our Indian buddies and just had a great time of fellowship. I was just so happy that day. And the pastor is George, and there's quite a story about old George. He's a very dedicated young man with a good wife, and I didn't know this. If I had, I'd forgotten about it. Only 5 years ago, he was making illegal alcohol. He was just a thug making illegal alcohol. His children began going to the tuition center at Beer and Tender. What that is, what these Indians do, the school system is not very good over there. So Gunner came up with the idea that why don't we offer people, if they want to send them down here after school, we'll help them do their homework stuff. And when doing it, we'll talk to them about the Lord. So they got some converts that way, because the kids go ahead and tell their parents about what's going on. Some of them like it. Well, that's happened in this case. George met Emmanuel, their pastor, their very intendant. And he talked to him about the Lord, so he got converted. He began reading his Bible, finally began exercising in the ministry, and now he's a pastor. And he's a good little pastor. He had a real good little wife. We also met a deacon named Paul in that church. And I was just impressed by Paul's smile. He doesn't speak English. Now, George speaks a little English. Paul doesn't speak any English at all, I don't think. But I just was amazed at his smile. So his story was, he's one of the tribal people. When he converted to Christianity, his parents kicked him out and disinherited him. But he's very happy serving the Lord. So that's pretty common over there. People go through that kind of persecution to serve the Lord. Then we went to the Roy's house for tea. Now, the Roy's, that's kind of interesting. These are Anglicans. They're not Primitive Baptists. They're Anglicans, but they're real good friends of Brother Gunnis. And we met Brother Roy 2 or 3 trips ago. Anyway, to make a long story short, he got a son that lives here in Kyville. And he came to Tempe's ordination. And he'd been to Kyville church some. He's still an Anglican. But he's a good friend. And so I thought it was kind of ironic. The last time they were here, the Roy's had visited their... He's pretty well off. He's a retired guy. So they come here sometimes. So they had tea at Timothy's house, and I was invited over there. And then we had tea at Roy's house this time up there on Yacob Mountain. But we had a good time doing that. Then we drove down the mountain and went to Peter's house. Peter's our driver. He's the one who drove us several places. His mother's a member of Gunner's Church. We had supper there. And the story on that is his mother is a member of Brother Goodman's church. Her name is Mary. And she got two brothers who are Roman Catholic priests. In fact, one of them lived at Rome for a few years. And boy, you can imagine what she called. She became Primitive Baptist. She really sort of got under persecution. In fact, her husband doesn't like her being a, you know, going to Brother Goodman's church. He's nice to us when we go there. So Peter, two times now, has had us over for supper. I really dreaded going over there the first time because, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do with this food. But old Peter surprised me. He got the best meal I've ever eaten in India. He had barbecue chicken. And I mean, I pigged out on it. And he even was so sweet. Well, we noticed that while we're eating, he gets on his little motorbike and cuts out. Well, he'd go down to Salem, to Omalur, to buy some ice cream. And he just treated like a king. And he's a man that last year at Cuddalore, when we were preaching, that's when he got touched by God's grace. And he just began to weep. He's a great big old guy. He's a former army man. And we, the traffic over there is unbelievable. It's like playing chicken. And we were amused this time, kind of scary, but amused. That a great big bus bearing down on us. And George, Peter wanted to pull out. He just gave this real stern look. He had a hand out like that and pulled out. And the bus driver just stopped. And that's almost unheard of. He's a pretty tough old guy. That one time, we're going through Bangalore the last trip. We got in a great big traffic jam. So he got tired of that. So he gets up the other lane, like going against traffic. We went about a half a mile against traffic. And we got back in the right lane. He went over past the traffic jam. But he's the one that when he heard us preach, he went home and told his dad, he said, Daddy, if you go to Rome, you'll hear a sermon like those guys preach. He said, in fact, if those guys would go to Rome, even the Pope would repent. That's what he said. So he said he's going to get baptized preaching, and I hope he will. And so they asked me after we got to eating in their yard to bring a little message. So I did. I'm just really impressed on them. I hope they help the old man, the old brother, who's the old husband. Who's a Catholic, and I felt real impressed to speak just briefly on 1 Timothy 2:5. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man in Christ Jesus. And I try to emphasize there's no human priest that we have to go with Jesus Christ as our priest. So I hope that helped. All right, then I'm almost through Timothy. On Saturday the 26th, then, we dropped off Herb at the train station at Salem. We had to separate. He had met by Nixon and Babu, to go to Valour. The Valour is a city where Nixon lives, and he's a wonderful person, and they hope there'll be a church there. I think there will be a church there someday. Jeff Harris had been down there to preach one time. He preached 800 people down there one time in the hospital because Nixon's wife was a nurse down there. And anyway, he went there. We dropped him off at Salem. So then we go with Gunnar and Sister Mary, who's going to walk to Pondicherry. You may have heard of Pondicherry. It's a real famous city. You might have heard of Pondicherry. It's on the coast. It's a French enclave. I don't know the history exactly, but the French had control of it. And Sister Mary's got an uncle there who lives in France. He's retired, and he got a real nice house in Pondicherry, and he comes to visit every now and then, so she wanted to go see her uncle. And he'd like to move back to India, but his family doesn't want to. They like France. But anyway, we went there. Then we went to Cuddalore. That's also on the coast. And that's where that tsunami hit, in Cuddalore, and even in Pondicherry some. So you can see some signs about that. They even have some posters up of people who died in that. But anyway, we were real tired when we got there. And Timothy especially wanted to go to the hotel room. But I want to go see the Bay of Bengals. So I'm the daddy, so we got to do my thing. But Timothy's glad we did, because it's amazing. We got there on that Bay of Bengals. And you've been to big water before, and there's something about big water that you just get awed by God's majesty. In fact, it talks in the book of Job about that. The Lord says something about here, hitherto shall thy proud waves come no further. And the waves were coming in, and the sea wind got to blowing. It's just better to lie down and rest and ready. We just got really refreshed there. Then we go to our motel room. So then Sunday, that's our last worship service in India. We worshiped at the Seashore Primitive Baptist Church. They got the big sign that says Seashore Primitive Baptist Church. And our pastor is a man named Ambrose. I didn't used to like Ambrose when I first saw him. He's a real stern looking man. I thought he was arrogant, but he's not arrogant at all. He got a real sweet learner spirit, I found out. And his wife and him are very dedicated. They got two sons that are strapping fine young men. And they got these oddball names now. One of them is named Samson. One of them is named Jake Harris. Jack Harris. Now, where they come up with that, I don't know. I don't really name after Jeff Harris. What his name is, Jack Harris and Samson. And I brought his wife. Anyway, he's a good pastor, evidently. And he's the church that we encouraged Gunnar last year not to come too quick. We thought he'd go too quick. We didn't think Ambrose was solid enough. And so Gunnar listened to us in 6 months before he came to that church. And even Peter, who's real observant, he said, there's a change in this church. He said there's no sign of a musical instrument anymore. So they had them there. They didn't use them when we were there. If they still had them, that's what we told them he needed to hold off. And also he said they're not nearly as emotional because they had been charismatics. And so Peter noticed that. They matured. And so Ambrose asked us to preach on some subjects. He asked Timothy to preach on the Holy Spirit because he'd been very impressed with what Timothy had preached down at the seminar. And so Timothy did kind of condense his three sermons to preach on the Holy Spirit because there's a lot of charismatics in India. And I thought, Lord, he's blessing. He asked me to preach on Christian maturity. And I made this comment, Judy, I didn't tell you this yet because she always packed for me real well, but I said, this is the only time Timothy and I have worn neckties. I believe we fit in pretty well with the color scheme. The color scheme is amazing. They got all these banners and all these churches. They like bright stuff, and they had some balloons hanging down. I think they're balloons. Looks like them anyway. So I said, I believe we fit in pretty well with the color scheme. Each of us are wearing khaki pants, blue shirts, and ties with blue and gold. And I'm talking these are loud ties, not the kind of jeans you want me to wear here. She bought them at these thrift stores that we wear when we go to India. So I think we probably fit in pretty well. And then after that, we had a real prayer going to the Bay of Bengal and going to baptize six people, all of whom had been Hindus. One lady had been burned very badly. She was disfigured. So God asked me to pray. And I prayed a whole lot about the perfect body we have the resurrection. I want to comfort that woman. In the resurrection, she won't have that old burned body. It was a real sweet time there at the Bay of Bengal. So that's the last ministering we did. We then went on back to Gunnar's house, and we went on to, down to Madras to go home. But anyway, Timothy, come on now, and just see how Lord will bless you. Hope he'll really bless you to communicate well. And you might get one of these prayer point things. You might want to share with them some of the things that you hope Lord will bless you here to really communicate.
I was back there in India for a little bit. I do want to thank Grace Chapel for all your prayers. While we were gone, Daddy and I had the list of the brethren who were fasting and praying each day, and we would look at the list of who's praying for us today, and it was just a real comfort. Other than people, just those men were praying, but it was just a great comfort to know the prayers of God's people back here. I do have these prayer requests. Daddy and I felt bad before that we haven't. We've told people to pray for the work and be interested, but haven't maybe given enough encouragement in prayer. And so I came up with several prayer requests that are important, I think, and thought they would be a blessing and passed them out at Collierville Church this morning and gave some to Daddy here for us to have some specific things to pray for the Indian work. And I want to encourage us to do that. Sometimes we don't think that our prayers maybe are that valuable, but they are. We know it's true that they are according to the Word of God. And we can be helpers to these Indian brethren. We're not always there, not always with them, fellowshipping them, but we can be great helpers to them in our prayers. I just want to encourage us all to be faithful to do that. And the first one I listed here was God's blessing upon the Indian ministers as they stand for the truth, even though it means great sacrifice from them and their families. And I think Daddy already related to you their commitment to truth, and even though it cost them much. And do you tell them about Sakhe Prasad? Tell him about Sakhe Prasad, and I just love that guy very much. He's a very good, speaks very good English, and he and his three brothers do. And he was in a Baptist Bible college and graduated from there. Then, through God's providence, met Brother Guna and heard the doctrines of grace and never heard them before and embraced them and loved them dearly. But many of his buddies, his classmates in college are now Pentecostal ministers, which is amazing to me. I said, how are they Pentecostals now? Because they were in a Baptist Bible college, he said, because of the money. And he said they're doing the speaking in tongues thing and everything. He said, even though they know better, he said, they're still doing that. And that's how, just shows how the system is flawed, because these men, they're very poor. And so in order to get the money there, they were apparently willing to compromise, which is scary to me to see what we are capable of in human nature. And even one of his friends offered him a position and, it would have been a good salary and all that. And Sakhe told him, I'm not interested in money, but I'm interested in biblical doctrine and biblical truth. And I just wanted to grab him and give him a bear hug for that, for their commitment. Because they could do better monetarily wise for them and their families. They're in great poverty. Even while we were there, his daughter was in the hospital. And sure, it was a pretty sizable bill, and we gave him some money to help on that. But these men do stand for truth, and it's valuable to them. It's worth it to them, and I just praise the Lord for their commitment. But let's pray for them that God will be with them and bless them and their families as they do that. But also, the second one I have here is for the Lord to provide more audio recordings of the Bible for the believers who are illiterate and those who are blind. And the story behind that is, as he mentioned, Brother George, who's the pastor at Padipati Church up on the mountain of Yerkad. There's, I think, two churches we have up on the mountain, and his church is in a little village out from town a bit, and most of the people are these coolies, the people who work on the coffee plantations. And I asked George and Nelson, we were standing around that day at Padipati Church visiting, and I said, what are some of the spiritual needs, the greatest spiritual needs of your churches that we can pray for? And George blew me away. I never would have thought this. And George said, well, he said, many of our people are illiterate. He said, they, you know, can't read the Bible. That's pretty serious. I mean, and that's amazing to me. I mean, we think about prayer requests for our churches. We don't normally think of that. We pray, Lord, bless our people to read the Bible. But their prayer is they have people who are illiterate and can't even read the Bible. And it just really struck me. That just really moved me because one of the greatest treasures that we have is the Word of God. And to be able to have education, to be able to read and write is just invaluable, something we just take for granted. And, of course, to have copies of God's Word. But one really exciting thing, and George showed it to me, he's really excited about it, was that I think it's one of the Bible societies or groups or something, I think it's India Bible Society or something, they've just come up with it's an audio recording device. It's a little box, not exactly a tape recorder, but just some kind of a little box, the tape or whatever is built into it. And they have it in Tamil. They have the New Testament in Tamil. And this church has one of them. I think maybe one of the other churches has one as well. There's not many yet. But you can even punch buttons and get it to the particular chapter and book that you want to go to. So you don't have to just listen to it straight on through. But they can even flip around to their particular chapter and verse. And George is just really excited about that for his group there, the ones in that church who are illiterate. And so I told Nelson to let us know when they know the cost of these Bibles. I know that I want to help out some on that to provide more of these audio recordings for these believers who are illiterate. And also, two of the blind brothers, Brother Sundram and Brother Solomon. Solomon, they also have just gotten, Brother Fisher, I think he bought them. He was in Bangalore this time, and he bought them himself, I think some audio, I think they were cassette tapes maybe, of the Bible that they could hear on tape. And so that's really encouraging. But also, they just have a New Testament right now, and they're hoping to produce, this group's hoping to produce the Old Testament as well in Tamil. So that is something that is close to my heart. Just to be able to read the Bible is a great blessing. The third one I mentioned was for the Lord's guidance and blessing upon the future of the orphans, as many of them are now approaching the end of their high school education. And it's kind of, I'm not really sure all what's going to happen with some of the orphans. Like he said, one of them has gone to technical training now for computers, and IT is a big thing there. And there's about to be a big IT park come to Salem, and they're even wanting to maybe improve their airport and everything there. The government's going to put a lot of money into it, as that's a growing field. But I know the government does provide some free higher education. It's not typically the best, but they do provide some of it. So I assume some of these orphans will do that, and I'm not sure what will happen after that. But just do pray for God's leadership and guidance to them. And some of them, the older ones, have been baptized. And the one that we support, I was just really encouraged that he was able to be there for the 2 days of the seminar at Chattopadhyay, and he was just sitting up at the front on his mat and following along with Scripture. And I just had some great talks with him. Richard, Brother Guna's son, translated for me, and we had a wonderful time talking together. And I just love that little kid very much. He's probably a little kid, probably 17 or 18 now, but it's just really encouraging to see some of them really taking hold. They say he particularly just really has a love for the Word of God and for the truth, and just encouraging to see that. But one of the sad things, very, very sad thing to me, is this. I've been going since 2002 is my first trip. So seeing all these kids from 6 years, recognizing their faces and remember a lot of their names, seeing them grow up. And one of the high school age girls I remember, her face, she was from a Lombardy tribal people. And I remember she had kind of a distinct look. And her brother's there also. And I noticed that her name is Deepa, that she wasn't there this time. And so I asked them what happened, and they said that her father had married her off to a Hindu. And that just tore my heart out. To me, she's probably 16, 17. I don't know how old she is. But, you know, in that culture, that's how they do it. And, you know, Brother Guna, one of her parents is still alive, so nothing he can really do to prevent that. But it just grieved me to see that. And so I don't know what the future of some of these other, particularly the girls, is in that regard. But I can't control that, but I thought about what Paul said to the Ephesian church when he left them. He said, I commend you to God and to his grace. And so just pray that God will direct and guide in the lives of these children. It's a great investment that Brother Guna and Sister Mary and the other workers have put into the lives of these children. And just trust that God will honor their efforts and bless them in their futures. The next one I mentioned was for God's blessing of Brother Guna, as he has delegated much of the administrative responsibility of the orphanage work to others so that he can dedicate himself to preaching, training younger ministers, translating, and going through the doors that God's opening for the gospel there. And he's starting to do that this month of January, and you can tell it's kind of a burden off of him. He's a wonderful administrator, makes such good decisions, good use of money, very efficient, very wise in how that he does the administration. But it's also just so much of one person can do. And he does want his main focus to be on the ministry. And so he's delegated a lot of the administrative things in the orphanage to others so he can spend more time doing that, dedicating himself to that. I really believe that will be a great blessing to the work there, to the churches there. There's a lot of translating that needs to be done. That's one of his burdens, is to get as much solid literature in their print as possible. We take it for granted. I've got a whole shelf full of books at home in my language I can read. And that's something that these brethren don't have a lot of access to. They have several that have already been translated, which is a great blessing. But that's one of his burdens, is to get more and more good, solid literature translated. To just pray, and also there's so many things to do. There's so many doors that are opening, and he's a father of the ministry to a number of the ministers there. And just pray that God will bless those efforts for him to really be able to break away to some degree from that and focus himself on the work of the ministry. And also just the next one was for God blessing the efforts to spread the gospel. And there's several doors that seem like there's so many opportunities. It's amazing the doors that are opening up there. People just inquiring and calling, and makes you a little bit jealous. You wish we had that here. But it's exciting to see that, and just pray that God will bless in these open doors. But also another just continued prayer for God to bless with continued religious freedom and a favorable government there. They have that right now. They said kind of the nature of their elections is that one government comes in and then pretty much it's almost guaranteed the next party's going to win next time. People just do ping pong, just back and forth with the parties. And so they have a pretty favorable group in there right now, but just pray for continued blessing in that. And then the next one is kind of, could be humorous. You know, Indian churches are not perfect. They have problems just like we do. I think they have strengths that maybe we don't have, and we have strengths they don't have in some areas. But they're sinners and human beings just like we are, need growth and improvement just like our churches do. And so I prayed the request for the churches and ministers to be at unity, love, and peace. Satan would love to stir up strife and division among them. That we, you know, Brother Gunnar was sharing with us several difficulties. One church has been complaining about their pastor, saying he's not preaching very well, and he's saying he's doing all he can, and so, you know, there's strife there, and he thinks, Brother Gunnar thinks that church needs to support their pastor better and be more, you know, whatever. And, they're just sinners just like we are. And that's why the Lord says so much about unity in the Scriptures, because not only do Americans need that, but Indians need that, just sinners need that. And one of the churches has been having some pretty fiery business meetings. He says it's just a lot of politics and just back and forth, and even I was really one of the blind brothers for the syndrome, said he got up at the end of one of their business meetings at this particular church, and he just rebuked them and said, you know, there's no difference the way that we're acting than the Hindus are acting. He said, we ought to be, you know, at love at every point, even during business meetings. So they have struggles and difficulties just like we do, and so just to pray that God would continue to bless them with unity and with peace in their churches. Satan has many ways to attack God's work, whether it be by persecution or by internal strife. So just pray that the Lord will bless in that area. It's hard to know what else to tell. Daddy was doing such a good job there. The Lord really blessed in the preaching, I thought. We always pray God will lead us and guide us to know what to preach on. And the Lord really blessed Daddy to do some good preaching at that the whole time, but at that seminar particularly. I think you might have mentioned this morning, he preached a sermon on distinctives of primitive Baptists, and it was just a really blessed message, just anointed. I told him I wanted him to preach it here. It was just great content, and the Lord really blessed him. And Brother Herb did some great preaching. He preached through 1 and 2 Peter, and the Lord really, really blessed his efforts. And it's just exciting to see the attention of the people, because sometimes it's hard in the translating. You have to really break things down simply. It's so good to come home and be able to talk in English and just talk and not have a translator. But you have to really break things down simply, and sometimes it's difficult in that. But when you see the people, just great attention, almost everywhere we went, just fantastic attention. People taking notes and following their Bibles, and they're seeing looks of recognition after the translator does his thing. And he's like, oh, good, they got the point. And you're just happy that you were able to connect with the people through that. And one of the things that was interesting is one of the up at Budedu Church, a very rural and poor area up in Andhra, was I was talking about the Bible and reading the scriptures and how the Bible is kind of like a puzzle. Once you learn more and you grow more, all the pieces kind of start coming together. And as I was giving this illustration, I think Brother Herb said, "They know what a puzzle is?" And so sure enough, some people didn't know what a puzzle was. And so it kind of worked out well because the translator then explained what it was. And they got the point and they understood it. It was good. But and then one time Brother Herb referred to something in his sermon. He said, "That's just a house of cards." And he's like, "Wait," he said, they know what that is?" And I think some of them did. But that just kind of shows you how that stuff we say here and illustrations and cliches, you kind of have to really think through that in sharing with them. That's kind of difficult sometimes, but the Lord really blessed, and it's a blessing to have good translators, really a blessing. The three Sakes up in Andhra are good translators, and it's always good to know that there's more than one translator in the audience, because sometimes when one of them makes a mistake or doesn't get something right, the other one will holler out and say, "No, I assume it's what he's saying. No, it's this way," and he'll tell him, you know, how to better say it. So they keep each other in check, and that's a great blessing. I don't know what else to tell. There's so much. Yeah, no.
Can you tell us how
Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm not sure the number of the pastors. I think most of them are right now. Of course, this is the month where they're kind of the churches are starting to take on the load of supporting their individual ministers. But I think most of them right now are able to be full time, which is a blessing. You know, one thing is it's not just you can't just go out and get a job there. You know, like you can here. You can typically at least find McDonald's here. You know, something to get a job right up just for something. But it's not that easy. I mean, they have a growing economy, but especially in the rural areas and the poorer areas, it's not just, you can't just go out and get a job like we kind of take for granted sometimes here. But Brother Gunnar's health, I think you know about that.
Pretty good health. His diabetes, he's got it under control. He's obviously aging. He gets white hair, and he doesn't have energy. He doesn't translate what he used to. He always gets translated down to health because he used to all translate. It's a pretty hard job. He was well known. He translates some of it, but maybe one third of their stuff, and he gets these other guys in.
But what about, isn't he taking something now that makes him feel better or something?
Yeah, he's taking some kind of some kind of Amway stuff. He said like he's got a new man. So I gave him enough money to buy it the next 3 months. It's pretty expensive stuff. Some kind of a protein. He just said make him feel like a different person. So I've been with us. We've got stuff we have to keep taking.
Yeah.
So.
I think I saw that either 14 or 16, I believe. Constituted churches, and there's a number of what they call fellowships, kind of preaching points where there's interest, and probably will be probably constituted. I think it's 14 or 16. Those numbers are in my mind, mostly in Tamil Nadu. And I think how many in Andhra? What, three? I think there's one at Gudi where Sake Prasad's at. Okay, so at least two constituted churches in Andhra, and a number of preaching points, fellowships there, as well. I don't think it's this year. They do have a movie actor in politics like we do. He's pretty famous, and there's a picture. They're really politically involved. At least there's posters. I mean, every street corner there's posters. And one time there was a poster of this guy, and there was a in his picture there was a Hindu, a Catholic, and a Muslim. And I asked Brother Gunnar what that was about. And he said, "Well, that's just that politician's birthday, and he's just trying to make like he loves everybody." And tell you about their government, we get worried about our government, but we do have some things to be thankful for. Last year when we were there, a law had been passed, and it was just about to go into effect that everybody riding a motorcycle had to have a helmet. So we even bought Peter a helmet, kind of as a thank you gift for him driving us around. And so this year I noticed nobody's wearing their helmets. So I asked Brother Gunnar, I said, "What about the motorcycle helmet law?" And he said, "Well," he said, "that's just the government for you." He said, "They made a deal with the helmet companies. And then they passed the law, everybody bought a helmet, made a lot of money, and then they revoked the law to please all the people." And so, and then he told me one time with the paint companies, there was a law to make all the taxis had to be painted yellow. And so as soon as the law went into effect, the taxi driver had to spend the money to paint their vehicles yellow. They made a deal with the paint companies, then they revoked the law to please all the people who got mad. So infuriating, I mean, just blatant and obvious. Their prime minister is very favorable, Manmohan Singh. He's a Sikh, I believe. He's from the Congress Party, very favorable, neutral. You know, religiously, they don't endorse a religion. So he's pretty favorable, and he seems to be. They say he's just a smart guy. He just does well at what he does, and he's not really. They don't believe he's he himself is as much corrupt. But in the lower levels, there's plenty of open corruption. But I'm not sure when the next election is. Total about 200, I believe, is the number at some at Chattopadie, which is his place, and most of them there are high schooler age because the high school they're older because there's better high schools in that area. There's Bepham Artur and Angium and Potapadie as well. One thing, you know, I think people there's for those who do support orphans here, I think it's 25 a month is what the gift is to you know for just basic needs, but. Keep in mind that the dollar is weaker, and so we found it out on this trip, it hurt on our exchange rate. So that $25 that people send per month to support their particular orphan is going a shorter way because of the lack of the dollar. So keep that in mind if you give. Yeah.
Are any of the orphanages, are people adopting out of the orphanages?
No. I don't know. I don't know if that, if, do you know anything? His orphanages are the only. His orphanages are the only clean place in India. I mean, everything else is just—it's just such a garbage heap. It really is, and they just keep it clean. It's the only time I've ever seen grass that looks good and trees, and they just want to, you know, keep it up and make it a good environment for those kids. Even so, the kids do have to make sure they walk over the sewer in their bare feet. Can't imagine my children being there walking around, but that's how it is. The boys told me, they showed me, went to a little creek down below, Brother Gunan's there, and they told me the bush over there where all the snakes were, so I was glad to know that so I could stay clear of that. there's so much to tell. I wish we could communicate. I don't know. Keep the questions are helping to pump my memory, but... Daddy did eat vegetable fried rice and chicken fried rice at some Indian restaurants, so he did partake of some Indian food. He's still pretty consistent, though. I'll give him that. He consistently doesn't eat it. They know he likes watermelons and tomatoes now. They bring him all the white. He just eats loads of that every meal. So, yeah. Yes, to some degree. They have what they call Tamil medium and English medium. English medium means that all of your classes are in English. And Tamil mediums are in Tamil, but even the ones who are in Tamil medium, they do have English classes. And so, I mean, there's many signs in English. English is kind of the non-official official language, second official language of India. So a lot of people do speak it, and some of the youngsters are learning that. Some better than others, but they some of them are learning that. Yeah, Richard, my good friend now, we're just good buddies now, but he, Brother Guna's son, he's in dental school. And if you can imagine all of his classes being in English, he went to Tamil medium through high school. So he had some English, but it was very, you know, not proficient. Then he went to college, and all of his classes, I'm talking their version of A&P and all these medical terms, all these things are all in English. So he's been it for several years now, so his English is doing real well. But that was what he had to deal with starting off in hard classes, so. Do pray for Brother Nelson as well. I love Nelson a lot. He's Brother Goon is kind of his assistant in the orphanage. He's also pastor at Tenapati Church, and that guy just has a big load on him. He's pastoring that church and then puts in tons of hours in the office with all the orphanage work and helps some of the ministers out too. And so he just really has a big load on him as well. And so do pray for him. His wife is named Kiruba, and I figured out that in translation, that's grace. That's the word for grace. Found that out. Any other questions? Again, thank you all so very much for the prayers, and it's encouraging to see what the Lord is doing there. One thing, I don't know if you shared some about the, I wanted to share this about, did you talk about Paul Denigren any? I mean, there's just like here, but there's just lots of false doctrine in India, in the Christian community. just it's sad. Many, many Pentecostals there, and a lot of our people have come from the Pentecostal background. So one of the things sometimes that happens after service is people will come up to you and want you to pray for them, and we pray for them, but we try to tell them that, you know, my prayers aren't any more special than your prayers or anything. And Brother Gunnar tells them that, you know, and sometimes it's hard to teach them out of some of that superstition. But there's a lot of Pentecostalism, and it's just, and not only Pentecostal, but also the more Benny Hinn type stuff that's really just infuriating. I mean, you see that stuff here, but when you see it when they're robbing really poor people, it really is infuriating. Paul Denegren is a kind of a Benny Hinn type in India. He and his father, they have a big TV thing and big organization, and he right now is selling keys to heaven. And you send in a certain amount of rupees, and it gives you the key to prosperity and happiness, and then eventually heaven. Blasphemous. But also, he has a company called the Teen Prayer Project, and you pay, I think, 10,000 rupees, send in the picture of your child, your teenager, to him, and he will pray over them every day, and it'll pretty much assure them they'll get a good college degree, good education, and be successful in life. And so just a lot of what goes under the name of Christianity there is like that. So it's just really discouraging to see that. And a lot of the CSI church is pretty big there. That's the Church of South India, Anglican. And just from what Brother Gideon said, a lot of it is kind of like, you know, some state religions. It's not a state religion, but kind of like that. And a lot of it's just, you know, formality and just what the family did and what you do. And so there's some that seem to be very sincere in that, but there's a lot of what goes by the name of Christianity there is pretty cheap. And so it's just, to me, I don't have words to express how gratifying it is and encouraging to see brethren there holding out for the truth and just being faithful and preaching it. It's just a great blessing. And, you know, there's a verse in Proverbs 30 I thought about reading on the way home on the trip that says, I'll just read it here. It just reminded me of the Indian brethren and what I want to be here. In Proverbs 30, it says, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. And I'll just read one of them. It says, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in summer. And the Lord teaches us a lot from ants and how that diligent they are. And, you know, the Indian brethren, we're probably a 0.0001% of the population over there, our people. But they're just busy. They're just busy going about the master's business, doing good things, doing everything they can to serve the Lord. And it's just encouraging to see that, and God's blessing their efforts. And I want to be that way as well, have a renewed vision, vigor to be diligent in the service of the Lord here. Oh, that was such a blessing. You know, we help them. We give the money, and we should. That's encouraging. It's a blessing to them. But, boy, this is encouraging. The church at Budedu in Andhra Pradesh is typically poorer than Tamil Nadu. It's hard for me to see that, but that's what they tell us, because to me it's just poor. But when Budedu Church was building their church building, the churches in Tamil Nadu collected money to send up there to help them, 50,000 rupees from the Tamil churches, which is a little over $1,000, that they collected from their poverty to send up to help their brethren up there. And Chettapati Church is themselves are supporting one minister in Andhra, sending him monthly support. And then Demiraj, a deacon at Bhumidi Church in Tamil, he's sending, I think, 1,000 rupees a month to help to the churches up there in Andhra. So that was just sweet to see that kind of love they have for each other, even though, you know, they don't speak the same language. But Demiraj has been up in Andhra and seen their needs and had a heart to help them, and just to see that kind of teamwork and love, and just from their poverty, they could say, well, we ain't got it, you know, let's let the Americans send support. But they saw their duty and responsibility and wanted to help out their brethren. So that was really really something to witness that. It's a blessing. You know, sometimes we think, why do we go every year? Maybe we, you know, they're doing pretty good, they're encouraged, but it's just every time we go, it's just like we did the right thing in going. Just to have that renewed face-to-face contact with the brethren, to hear their struggles and their needs and their questions and concerns, and just to be with them again in fellowship, it's just a real boost when we come over, and it is to us as well, just to encourage them. It's really encouraging to see what the Lord's doing there. And
thank you.
Well, the meeting with Brother Fisher, I was suffering from jet lag. I was, it was good, but I wasn't all the way there. It was good. I don't mean to be light with that. It was touching. You know, these are two men who are both godly, and they had differences, and there had been gossip, and things had been blown out of proportion. But they both, it was a good thing to witness of two men who are godly men and have served the Lord, but yet they're willing to humble themselves. And one of the things Brother Gunnar prayed in his prayer, he said some things out of line to Brother Fisher one time, and in his prayer he said, "Lord, you know, forgive me for those things." He said, "Help me not just to say, oh, that's my temperament, you know, that's just the way I am," to say something like that, to plow off the handle. But he said, don't let me let that be an excuse. And so that was encouraging to see that. And Brother Gary Kerline from Australia was also sitting in the meeting. He was close to the situation. He was shedding tears at the end. He was encouraged. He was unexpecting that. He was moved to see two godly men humble themselves and ask forgiveness, and that was good to see. And it also showed the power of gossip in the tongue. Just a lot of things have been said by people, and won't go into all of that. But it just shows that we do need to watch our tongues. That the tongue is a fire in a world of iniquity, as James says. And with the meeting with the preachers, the only way I know how to describe it is at one point when the brethren were talking, I just reached over and grabbed by the sake and just gave him a big hug. He wasn't expecting it. They don't really do that over there. But I just couldn't help it. I just love those guys so much. And just to see their stand for the truth is amazing. And they all affirm their respect for Brother Guna and for his integrity and his fathering of them in the ministry. One by one, they all stood up. And they kept on saying, I want something to say. So, Stephen was like, "I want something to say. Justin, I got something to say." And it went on and on. It was good. They all wanted to just affirm their love for him and respect for him, appreciation. He told us after, he said, "Boy, they said some things I didn't know they thought that about me." He was really moved by that. I just know that Kennedy had gotten, had a little bit of a spat a couple of weeks before, and I don't remember what Kennedy. He said, "Brother Gunnar loves me better than my own father." And so they were, it was just, I don't know, they were just, their commitment to the truth was just rock solid, and just their willingness to sacrifice for that. It was not just, it didn't seem to us like cheap words, but I said it with great great conviction. But it was just, we were all really moved after that. Just I told them myself that I felt like they were brothers, you know, to us, and they felt like they've done more in the kingdom of God than I have. But I always tell them, I said, "I wish I could hear y'all preach." You know, they hear us preach, but I wish I could hear them preach. I'm sure they can. I asked them one day, I think it was Friday, I asked them, "What are y'all going to preach on Sunday?" And they would tell me in their little broken English some of the passages and things they were thinking about, and it was just really fun just to think about them preaching their messages. But I guess that's it.